This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Today is it's April the 2nd, Thursday, April the 2nd, in fact. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada, morning Eastern Standard Time here. And I mention that because this is a podcast today with participants from all over the world. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the issue of U.S. citizenship-based taxation and how the possible relief for Americans abroad, which appears to be available under the CARES Act, might reinforce that or be an argument against it. And we'll see how the discussion goes. Very interesting group of people on with me today. You know me, I think. So I'm John Richardson. I am based in Toronto, Canada. I think you know Keith Redman, who I've done many of these sessions with in the past as well, who runs the Facebook American Expatriate group. You know Jenny of FATCA lawsuit in the UK fame, who has been on podcasts with me before. And the newest guest today, who I have the pleasure of meeting just this morning, who I've never done a podcast with, is Jeff Blatt. Jeff Blatt, who is a U.S. lawyer based in Thailand. So what I'd like to do, first of all, is give Jenny and Jeff just a moment to introduce themselves a little bit more fully before we begin the discussion. Perhaps, since you've been on before, Jenny, why don't we start with you?
I am Jenny. I live in the UK. I moved to the UK 20 years ago, and I've been leading a lawsuit, a UK legal challenge against FATCA, which is being crowdfunded on the Crowd Justice website called FATCA and HMRC, Breaching My Fundamental Rights to Data Protection and Privacy.
Okay, and I will add to that that I strongly suggest that you help Jenny in her funding initiative. Jeff?
My name is Jeff Blatt. I am based in Bangkok, Thailand. I'm a U.S. lawyer, and I left the United States in 1997 and lived overseas both in Malaysia and Thailand. Well, since then, I'm a dual U.S. Thai citizen, and over the years, I have participated in a number of activities to work towards repealing FATCA, as well as citizenship-based taxation, moving to residence-based taxation, including filing documents with the U.S. Congress and participating in other activities along those lines.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay, so by way of background, before we begin the discussion, obviously anybody who has the slightest interest in listening to this today is fully aware of what the U.S. calls citizenship-based taxation, what I would call the U.S. policy of imposing worldwide taxation on people who are tax residents of other countries and do not live in the United States. And this causes extreme hardships. Unless you're living under a rock, you're aware that we're in the middle of a major health pandemic. And many, many countries around the world have responded with aid for their resident citizens, including the United States, just passed the CARES Act last week. And it would appear that monetary relief is available to all American citizens, regardless of where they might live in the world. And what we're here to talk about today is not how to access that, and not to get into the technicalities of that, but really to talk about to what degree making that available to Americans abroad and being accepted by Americans abroad would bear on the arguments for and against and the movement for and against repealing U.S. citizenship-based taxation. I emphasize that we're all in agreement on the ultimate goal in this call, but I think that there may be varying views on this particular issue. Jenny, beginning with you, what are your thoughts on this?
About the relief that's being offered, specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just struck by, once again, this is treating people overseas as if they're homeland Americans, which is just where, you know, that's where all this trouble started, and that's the whole problem with citizenship-based taxation. I think it's very insulting to assume that, you know, we all live exactly like they do in the United States, and that a relief that's appropriate for a homeland American would be appropriate for us. I mean, I've got the NHS here, and I've got, you know, whatever relief is, you know, will come to British citizens like me. It doesn't make sense to me why Americans overseas would need or want this money, and it plays right into the hands of the people who want to defend citizenship-based taxation.
Mm-hmm. So if I can just zero in a couple of things you've said here. The first point you're making that as a UK resident, you're getting equivalent relief from your home country of residence, correct?
Yes.
And so what this really means, I suppose, would be that the United States is actually sending money outside the United States to people who are already getting relief from their countries of residence, at least for a certain group of people. It's also interesting that there are in America, of course, who would not be entitled to this relief. So that's a very interesting situation. Jeff, what are your views on this?
Well, I certainly understand where Jenny's coming from. I think I have a bit of a different view because I made an affirmative decision when I left the United States in 1997 that I was going to remain tax compliant with United States law. That doesn't mean that I agree with the United States law, but I have been compliant at great cost to myself. We all know the issues that citizen-based taxation and FATCA have presented to all of us. Having said that, because I have paid in, and I pay United States taxes rather dearly, I believe that if Americans are compliant, then they should be entitled to whatever relief the U.S. government is giving. And I certainly would take the same position with respect to Social Security as I paid in. And of course, I'll be able to register for Medicare, although I wouldn't be able to get Medicare here in Thailand. I'd have to go back to the U.S.
Okay. So you're focusing on sort of the quid pro quo. I've been in the tax system, I pay taxes, so I should get the benefits that all taxpayers have. Generally,
yeah,
I understood your point.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that I've gone to great lengths to be tax compliant, and I am an American citizen. I have not renounced. And I believe that would entitle me to whatever relief the U.S. government is giving to American citizens. That in no way means that I agree with FATCA nor CBT.
Oh, I'm sure you do not. I would be hard pressed to find anybody who's a tax resident of another country who would agree with that. But my question to you is this: do you think that the acceptance of relief from the U.S. government would make it harder to advocate effectively for repeal of citizenship-based taxation?
Well, my feeling, having looked at this as you have and all everyone on this call has for years, is I have yet to see any consistent position that the U.S. government takes other than refusing to change citizen-based taxation to residence-based taxation. So I don't believe that taking relief that as a United States citizen I'd be entitled to would undermine or torpedo. I have to say that I am a bit biased because I have maintained tax compliance, and it's extraordinarily painful to do so. So if they had denied me the right to have relief under the CARE Act, I would certainly feel like that would be unjust.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Keith, what's your view of this?
I think for me, my view is, and I'm taking it, my point of view is taking a look down the long term. And I feel that this situation for individuals who do claim the, I'll call it the relief money, for example, of the $1,200, just adds more ammunition to maintaining citizenship-based taxation, because as we all hear, well, this is what you're entitled to being an American, no matter where you are in the world. You're blessed to be an American, so you are entitled to this relief. However, that puts up some, for me, some roadblocks into ending the U.S. imposing its tax code outside the U.S. on tax residents of other countries. It's a long road to get to residency-based taxation, and I'm afraid that this is going to be a major hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wonder about this. Very interesting to listen to Jeff, partly because this is the first time I've met Jeff, okay, but also because he has said something twice now that appears to impact his view on this, and that is that he has been, made very significant efforts at very significant costs and experienced significant pain by maintaining U.S. tax compliance. Is there, in your view, everybody, a difference between somebody like Jeff, who, obviously has bent over backwards to be in the system, and if you look at some of the blogs, there are a number of non-compliant Americans living overseas who appear to be talking about somehow trying to access this money, notwithstanding their non-compliance with taxes.
Exactly. And
does that make a difference in anybody's view on this?
A difference in what sense, John?
Well, obviously, in terms of the broad sense of, will this undermine arguments for getting CBT changed? But I'd also be interested in your views on, if Jeff is clearly paid in, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if Americans are broader entitled to it, surely he's entitled to it. What do you think about, the people, who, have been non-compliant and are now considering, either entering the system or even applying for this without entering the system?
I personally think that it's a Pandora's box.
Yes.
And that the American overseas who is not in the U.S. tax system or has not been in the U.S. tax system for many years for a variety of reasons, by entering the system, they would need to really take a look at what the future value is of doing so. Meaning the short-term view, sure, okay, you enter in the system, you get possibly your $1,200, but what is that real cost going to be moving forward? Meaning paying U.S. tax compliance professional costs, taking a look at the American overseas financial profile, what monies they're going to be owing in the immediate or down the road to the U.S. Government. That all needs to be taken into consideration, and to just jump on the bandwagon to try to get this $1,200 could be a Pandora's box that could really hurt that American overseas.
Actually, maybe no, I'll direct this to Jeff. Or you were going to respond, Jeff. Go ahead.
I would agree with Keith. I think that if somebody's non-compliant, to get the $1,200, it would be foolish to enter the U.S. tax system. And I think that he's raised some very good points along those lines. Those are things that should be carefully considered for anybody that's in that situation. I also understand the latest reading of the blogs is that the $1,200 can be claimed by those that are getting Social Security, even if they haven't been filing tax returns. So that would presumably cover Americans overseas who are collecting Social Security and have retired overseas, but are not filing U.S. tax returns. I assume they'd still be able to get the $1,200.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I've not studied the technicalities of this issue at all. My impression is, though, that there is a mechanism for people who have not been filing taxes to access this, but I have no idea what that might be. It does seem to me, and Jeff, I think, would confirm what I'm about to say, that the idea of entering the U.S. tax system for a $1,200 bonus is absolutely insane, you know, given what the cost of being it and it would be going forward.
Not only the cost in money, but the cost in your time and your mental health and worrying and having to then be in the system and not knowing, you know, when things are going to change, when somebody's going to pass another crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think it would be absolutely crazy. All right. You know, moral issue. Is there a moral issue at stake here? So you've got a significant number of people who don't file tax returns accessing this. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I absolutely think it's immoral. To be honest, I might get some flack for this, but in a lot of cases, I think it's very immoral for Americans overseas who've lived overseas for decades and have no intention of returning to even still be voting. I don't understand. I just can't understand that mentality where you live in a different country yet you're still expecting money and you expect control over your life to come from the country that you left decades ago. I don't understand that. I don't understand on what basis you would be voting or accepting money from that country, but that's just my personal view on it.
Interestingly, Canada, well, as you know where I live, changed their election laws to prohibit expats, Canadian expats, from voting if they'd been out of the country for more than 5 years. That was challenged. It went to the Supreme Court of Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada reversed that. But, you know, that's an issue that obviously a lot of people do feel very, very strongly about. Do you think, though, that I think Americans in particular have trouble integrating mentally and emotionally into other countries? There's a certain, it takes them longer.
You know? I think it depends on the American and their circumstances on how difficult or not less difficult it is to integrate.
Yeah, I agree. I think it also depends on how old you were when you left the United States as well. I mean, I left as a very young adult, so I hadn't really started my adult life yet. And my identity, I feel, is very much British. And someone who left at age 30 might have developed an American identity that's more important to them.
And keep in mind also, there are Americans who have never lived in the United States, so they don't have that identity with the United States.
Well, actually, and now their identity is in many cases profoundly anti-American, profoundly, you know, because of the whole accidental American brouhaha that's been going on. Jeff, your thoughts on the moral issue. So, you know, so again, you know, you filed, and it was interesting to me that, you know, you emphasized that in sort of underscoring your position that, you know, that you're entitled to this money. Now, somebody who has not filed, leaving aside the legalities of this, do you see a moral issue?
I do. I think it makes a difference. And I just say that in my case, I'm living in an Asian country. I've become a citizen of an Asian country, which is not an easy thing to do. And you can say, well, I've totally integrated in terms of having a dual nationality and an Asian country passport along with my U.S. passport. And I have to deal with both of those tax regimes. Again, that's a positive decision that I made from 1997 and stuck with it. At great cost. Having said that, I personally think I would feel quite uncomfortable if I hadn't filed U.S. tax returns and been compliant to go and try to make a claim for the $1,200. I think that that would present a moral issue for me. And I also think that, you know, as I'm living in a developing country, it's not a developed country. The social systems here are not the same in terms of the support structures that you would find in a European country or another Western nation. It's kind of a long way of saying that I do see that there's a moral issue there. But in my particular case, I think that if someone similarly situated that has remained tax compliant has a right to make that claim. And just like they can claim for Social Security because they have paid in.
Not all of us can. I didn't work there long enough to claim Social Security, so maybe that's another factor. When you have more connections like that, maybe then you do feel that, you know, you're already getting something from there, so you feel that maybe that means that there's no problem with getting that money as well. So I mean, I can see that point, but for people with very, very, very little, if any, connection to the U.S., you know, I think it's just bonkers to be accepting that money.
On the moral issue, do you think it makes a difference whether they're getting comparable benefits from their country of residence? So Jenny's getting presumably some benefits in the UK. I have no idea.
I know France is providing quite a significant number of benefits as well.
So I don't know how this factors into it, but presume, you know, you possibly got Americans basically double dipping the system, right?
Potentially.
Okay. Let's transition in a little more focused way here, because I mean, all of us are on this call have been advocating in our own ways for the repeal of citizenship taxation, and on that we're completely united. And I would be interested in what your arguments would be on how fact that the U.S. has at least not precluded Americans abroad from getting benefits, how you would marshal that fact to argue either for or against the continued existence of citizenship taxation, which is, I think, the end game that we're all concerned with. Jenny, how would you take these facts and construct an argument for citizenship taxation must go because?
Well, it just shows that, you know, it gives it the other way. So we all pay taxes to where we live, but also when there's an emergency like this, we get support from where we live. So it shows how crazy it is for another country where you haven't lived for 20 years or 30 years, or whatever it is, to be giving you relief money. I mean, for, you know, it's under there, you know, it's okay for that context that maybe $1,200 is a meaningful amount for them. And it's fair for that country and for that context, but then to try to apply it to a different place, to people who haven't lived there for such a long time. It just shows how crazy it is. It's a crazy concept.
So in other words, I think what you're saying is that, hey, come on. I mean, this is a pandemic that's, you know, the countries are handling in their own way for their own residents. What in God's name is the United States doing in sending money overseas, particularly when some of these people are already getting benefits? That's essentially what you're saying?
Exactly. I mean, everyone knows you have so many people in the United States that don't have any health care at all. I think that, you know, the United States needs every penny that it has to keep it there and work for the people there. I think then to just bring it out all over the world to people that have lived there in decades is just insulting.
And I think the other thing is when you talk about benefits getting from another country, whether it be, let's say, from the UK or France, that's unearned income. So how is that going to be looked at vis-a-vis the U.S. tax system? So you'll be taxed on that as well?
I'm not so sure about that. I think it might be possible to just characterize as a gift.
As a gift?
I don't know. Maybe. What do you think, Jeff? You're a lawyer. What would be the tax implications?
Well, I mean, just addressing your question, John, I think from a macro level, from a 30,000 foot level, the fact that they are offering this relief to U.S. citizens, no matter where they are, kind of plays into the overall structure of their concept. And I say they, I'm just really referring to the general U.S. government concept for many years of you're an American citizen no matter where you are, and you're going to be taxed no matter where you are, and you can vote no matter where you are. But I would agree with Jenny and Keith on this. I think from a macro level, it really shows like the multiple heads that were that are kind of going in various directions here. Because on one hand, and I'll just kind of broaden the conversation just a little bit, as an American citizen, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my experience, I cannot buy a United States mutual fund, as an example.
Yeah.
Or if I buy a foreign mutual, PFIC rules, and I'm going to be penalized. And there's just this whole slew of the most ridiculous rules when you're layering one system, a United States tax legal system, financial system, on top of somebody else's system. It just doesn't work. We all know that. And my perception is that the fact that they're offering relief in this case to any American citizen, no matter where they are in the United States, or sorry, nor the world, is consistent with their kind of worldview. But yet they have a lot of things that are totally inconsistent with that, that so-called CBT worldview as well.
Yeah.
Long way of saying, we just need to change CBT.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Well, can I ask you this question? You know, directing it mainly at Jeff, but at everybody else. You know, you said two or three times in your answer, you used the phrase offering this to Americans abroad. Is it really that they're offering it to Americans abroad, or they just haven't specifically excluded Americans abroad from getting it?
That's a good question.
I don't know the answer, of course, but I think it may be the latter. And I'm wondering if that factors into this at all. In other words, you know, it's, you know, as I've said on these things before, the problem is not that Congress doesn't care, it's that they don't care that they don't care. And I'm wondering if this isn't perhaps more of just an unintended consequence of, you know, the whole horrible apparatus.
Yeah, it's just a consequence of their negligence, like the fallout from the transition tax and other things. They just don't remember that we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right, Jenny. I think the transition tax is a perfect example of nobody thought it through. I don't think it was intentional, but I really don't think nobody thought it through. And John may be very well correct that the offer to Americans for this relief maybe was because nobody thought it through.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually very possible.
Yeah, let me add something here with what John was saying. Here's a thought. Let's take the average homeland American, okay? And the average homeland American doesn't know about the situation with Americans overseas and the taxation, okay? And let's say that individual hears that somebody, and forgive me, Jeff, I'm just using you as an example, that's all in this instance. Let's say they hear that somebody like Jeff, who's living in Thailand, gets this $1,200 and doesn't even live in the United States. And let's say, for the sake of discussion, that Thailand offers money to Jeff as a relief package, like let's say in the UK or France. So that American is actually quote unquote double dipping. I wonder what that homeland American is going to think about that. I wonder if that would actually bolster the argument that CBT is just not fair from a homeland American point of view. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Just put yourself as, you know, somebody, a homeland American in middle America, and they hear about this. Well, why would an American overseas get money from the United States? They don't even live in the United States. And then we just hear about they're getting another $1,200 from Thailand or from France. So now they're double dipping. How is that fair?
Well, maybe if we want to really fight citizen-based taxation, maybe, for example, all the Americans in the UK can all claim this money and donate it to the NHS, and then we'll see how homeland Americans, what they think about their government's money being used to fund the healthcare system in another country that they
pay for. Yeah. Now that would be you know, I just had another thought on this that I'd like to ask you about. You know, we've been talking about this in relation to the tax system, obviously, but it's funny, listening to everybody talk has led me to this as a possible conclusion. I hadn't thought about this before. But I don't know if this is even a tax issue at all. I think it may be that it's just the tax system that's being used to administer, you know, the relief. I mean, have anything to do with the Internal Revenue Code, or is this just general relief to Americans where the tax system is being used to administer the relief? I mean, I think we need to be careful here.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think it's
because it is. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, no, I was going to say the same thing. It's a good question. But I personally think that they're just using the tax system as a mechanism to distribute the funds. And I was going to make one other comment. You know, I have not yet reached the age where I need to register for Medicare, but that is not too far off.
It's coming, Jeff. And, it's coming.
Yeah, and I know that when I go ahead and do that, they are not going to ask me. When I go do that, they are not going to ask me, do you get relief? Are you under a healthcare system in Thailand? They're not going to do that because the whole structure, there's some built-in assumptions that we're all very familiar with that are actually terrible. But the U.S. is so centric in terms of their view, U.S. focused, that question wouldn't even arise.
Yeah.
I don't think that I don't think a lot of people in the American government even understand that other countries have taxes sometimes, let alone healthcare systems or pension systems or anything else.
No, they don't. They don't.
No.
The problem, one of the problems with this, as I sort of, sitting here in Canada, I'm thinking about it. It's interesting. The way this is being administered in Canada, or their equivalent, is basically you just fill out a form and that's it. Okay, it's not, I assume it's going to be taxable, okay, down the road. But they're not using the tax system, to distribute any of this. I think that this is a great error, that something about America where everything has to be done through the tax system, right? And that is, that may be a separate issue, but that may be part of the problem here, right? That to be an American is to be subject to taxation, part of the regulatory apparatus that is fundamentally administered through the tax system. I mean, maybe that's part of the problem here.
And the assumption that the tax system has to be this crazy Byzantine thing that you have to pay somebody hundreds or thousands of pounds a year to figure out for you. Instead of like in the UK, where for a lot of people, it's just, it's taken out of their paycheck. They don't really think about tax even very much. They certainly don't have to spend, days and weeks trying to figure it out every year.
The US tax system, in my view, is possibly one of the most immoral pieces of legislation in the history of humanity.
Absolutely.
It's so coercive. It cannot be understood. It's penalty laden. It's expensive to comply with. It's an abomination, and this goes way beyond the issue of Americans abroad. For anybody subject to it, it's a gigantic problem. Okay, let's wrap this up at least today. I think this has been an incredibly interesting conversation, and I really appreciate everybody's participation, not especially you, Jeff, but I'm going to call you out especially because it's the first time you've been on one of these. So thank you very much. Maybe everybody could, give a bit of a close. I'm going to let Jenny go last because I want to give her a chance to explain the lawsuit, which is so important. I'm going to say no more. Keith, do you have any closing thoughts or words?
Well, I think this just brings yet another situation on having to address the way the U.S. taxes outside the United States on tax residents of other countries. I mean, it creates a major complication on so many different levels. That's all I have right at the moment. It just is just another example on the absurdity of how the U.S. does its tax system. And it does create a significant amount of angst and damage and frustration for so many Americans overseas and others who are caught up, other populations who are caught up in the system.
Maybe everybody could address this. Would you advise somebody who's not in the tax system to somehow try to claim this money, Keith?
Would I advise somebody who is not in the tax system to claim this money?
Yeah.
I would just say keep moving forward with what you're doing and to really really think long and hard before you make any decisions of possibly entering the U.S. tax system because it's not a static.
Okay. That's a different issue. Okay. Just the claiming the money without being in the tax system. Jeff, what do you think? Closing words.
Well, yeah, closing words. Hope and pray that we can change CBT to something rational like residence-based tax and or something in the intermediate stage where FATCA only applies to a U.S. resident. The system is incredibly complex and incredibly unfair and unbelievably expensive to comply with.
And what would your advice be to somebody who's not been filing U.S. taxes? Should they try to access this relief?
I would certainly say no. Should not try to access that relief. I think they've got to make some pretty tough decisions moving forward, and maybe some bets that the system will change or not.
Okay, wonderful, Jenny.
Well, my lawsuit is mostly about the FATCA rather than citizen-based taxation itself. But FATCA is obviously, as everyone knows, it's taken the problems with citizenship-based taxation and just turned them into a huge worldwide surveillance system that is the massive violation of data protection and data privacy rights, which in Europe is our fundamental rights that everyone enjoys. So if anybody's interested in looking at the lawsuit page, you haven't already, it's on Crowd Justice. You can just Google Crowd Justice, FATCA, and HMRC. And there's you can make a donation of any amount that you want. And there's also a feature to add your comment if you want to add a comment that often encourages other people to be interested in the case and to pledge themselves. And as far as accepting the money, I just, for $1,200, it's just, I mean, apart from being immoral, it's just, it wouldn't touch the sides of what you'd be putting yourself into. The awful, like I say, Byzantine system that you'd be entering, it's going to cost you many, many, many times more than that to continue complying. Of course,
maybe those who try to access this money should take some of that money and fund Jenny's lawsuit and our own FATCA lawsuit in Canada. Maybe that would be a good use of the money to fund the anti-FATCA lawsuits. What do you think?
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. On that note, thank all of you very, very much. And we will
thank you.
Continue these podcasts from time to time. And Jeff, are you willing to join with us again?
Oh, most certainly. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks so much for, I know it's late. It's probably late at night for you there. So thanks for staying up.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Everybody stay on for a second.